your Bible, please turn to Galatians chapter 6. We are nearly done with this book. Nearly through Paul's final thoughts here. So Galatians chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 6 through 10. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I want to jump right in here because Paul is kind of wrapping things up. And it may kind of come across and seem like he's just throwing a bunch of stuff that, by the way, I got this and do good and okay. And it may seem kind of random. But I think there's a link here. I think there's a thread that connects into a cohesive thought in these verses here. And that is verse 7. It is the idea that do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that also he will reap. There's a great principle here. It's close to a universal truth as we can really have. What you sow, you reap. And that is Paul. And that is, I believe, the principle that connects these verses, that holds them together. It's a principle of order and consistency. It is a creation principle that God has put forth. A truth in an age of relativism. People try to bend and fudge and distort. This principle is true. Now, we understand it in the agricultural sense, correct? Right? We know that if a farmer wants a harvest, he has to sow some seed, right? I mean, I'm not missing something here. If next fall you want to harvest some corn, you got to sow some corn. And it's so simple, and yet we try to fudge around it sometimes. And it's also important to realize in this principle that the kind of harvest you get is determined by the seed that you plant. If I want to harvest soybeans, but I plant corn, I'm going to be very disappointed in the fall. If I want to harvest strawberries, but I plant radishes, my pie is going to be terrible. What you sow is what you reap. And we see that in nature. Corn yields corn, strawberries yield strawberries, beets yield beets, it's true. We see it in the quality of things also, right? If you want good harvest, you want to sow good seeds. And there are differences. You can have bad seed. You can get some seeds that just came from poor plants, or you're expecting big, tall, fresh ears of corn, but the seeds you plant are scraggly little things. Well, guess what? You're not going to get what you sowed. You're not going to get what you wanted. You're going to get what you sowed. So there's a quality component in our sowing and reaping, isn't there? So there's the nature of it. There's the quality and also quantity. If I need a big harvest, I need to fill certain grain bins with grain, I need to plant enough seed to get that result. Okay? The quantity of seed you sow is directly related to the quantity you will harvest. If I sow an acre of corn, but I want 100 acres of harvest, you're deceived. It's not going to work. Again, anybody who has stepped outside of a city in their life understands this principle. So that's what it is. That is the principle. The nature of our sowing reaping, there's the quality and the quantity, all so important in the end results of our harvest. And Paul here then is taking that principle and showing us how it works in a moral and a spiritual sense. He wants us to understand, and it comes down to a word that we don't use sometimes, but it's the idea of holiness. And what that, when we say that word again, people think, oh, just real super pious, self-indulgent people. But it's about growing in God. To be holy is to be more and more like Him. It's not salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the growing in him, of the being more and more like him, of the everyday life that comes in Christ, the putting to death of the old and coming on the new, all that. And that principle is sowing and reaping. And it's very important. If a person is faithful and conscientious in sowing spiritual things, they can be reasonably assured of and expect a good harvest at the end. But again, it's not salvation. What happens is, the principle is that when God saves us, his doing, his work, and his Spirit comes into us, and we are more and more influenced by that Spirit. Yes, we know our flesh is corrupt. We know that we struggle. We know that we still sin, but our desires, our thoughts are turned then. We don't want the same things. And evidence of the Spirit in us is that our desires are, again, I may fail, but at least I'm aware. I sin, I don't want it. I think it's gross, I think it's ugly, and I want to go the right direction. And to go the right direction, then we have to sow the right seeds, the quality of the seeds, and the quantity of the seeds in our spiritual lives. And God's word it shows this principle all over the place. Job 4:8 says this: "As I have seen those who plow iniquity, sow trouble." Right? That's what's going to happen. Hosea 8:7 says, "For they sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind." You're talking about judgment. Okay? It's principle. And Paul emphasizes the idea here with a command: do not be deceived, and also a statement: God is not mocked. Now, why does he have those things in there? Well, the idea of being deceived, we understand that as people we can be, right? It's easy to do. In Mark 13, Jesus said, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform many signs and wonders to lead astray, even maybe the elect." Okay, so there's a principle of deception that's there. We have an enemy who wants to deceive us. And in this idea of sowing and reaping, we can be deceived. We can think we have the right seed and we don't. We can think we're plowing the right field and we're not. When we think we're going to get this result, but we sow, it isn't what's going to get us that. They say, don't be. Keep your eyes open to these kind of things. Paul talks about this principle in places like Ephesians 5:6. "Let no one deceive you with empty words." In Galatians earlier, in chapter 3, verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has deceived you?" And even in chapter 6 here, last week, Paul said, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We have to be on the guard for deception. And the statement, "God is not mocked," is an important one. The word here, "mocked," is related to the nose. It means something like to turn up the nose, to sneer, to treat with contempt, the idea. And so it's like saying to God, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And God is not mocked. In fact, who thinks so is being deceived. One may fool themselves, but they cannot fool God. And one cannot escape the principle of sowing and reaping. That's what Paul's trying to tell us here. You may want to. You may think you're immune. You may think you're exempt. You are not. You are not. And God is not mocked in this. So with that principle, okay, we have this solid idea. This is real. And so Paul then connects these next statements through that lens of sowing and reaping to help us understand how this principle works out in our spiritual lives. The first one we see is in the realm of Christian ministry. And that's verse 6. "Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches." Now, there are some who think that little phrase is kind of a throwaway, a parenthesis of sorts. That he is, oh yeah, by the way, make sure you pray your preachers. And, then he talks about sowing and reaping. But I think that this is a principle of sowing and reaping. It's kind of weird of me standing here talking about this, but it's there's a true thing here that the one who's taught the word should share with those who are teaching. The one who has taught the word here is the word is catechumenoi, okay? So you hear catechist, catechumen, okay? It's the learner. A lot of times, like a catechism is that learning the faith, the basics of faith, So, and it gives the idea of who that person is. So whether it's someone's, just anyone who's under instruction in the faith is basically what we're talking about here. It could be privately, you know, one-on-one. It could be in a class, you know, like what we're doing in Sunday school with the, what's the word I'm looking for? The reform.
It's the shorter catechism.
Shorter, Westminster Shorter Catechism. Thank you. I was like, what? I lost there. Thank you. You okay? In that kind of thing? Or, as we're doing right now, my responsibility in preaching the word and to you, that's all part of it. Now, again, your pastor's waiting. This is awkward. Or could be. Okay? You know, it may seem self-serving. You know, hey, guys, I'm reading. You got to take care of me. Okay? All right. But let's think about this. You know, places like Jesus taught this in Luke 10, verse 7, when he's sending out the 72. Remember, that's where he's sending out, you know, to go to all the towns, proclaim the kingdom of God. And he says there, starting in verse 7, says, remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves the wages. So there's that principle. So he's sowing the kingdom of God, sowing God's word in these towns, and the expectation is the house should then provide for you. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9:11, Paul says this, if we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? Okay, so the principle is there. Again, awkward, or could be, because we understand that, even as reading here, that there's a potential for abuse, okay, and from the person who is ministering the word and from those who are receiving the word. This principle of sowing, reaping. Sowing bad will get you bad both ways. So, for instance, abuse on the minister's part, all right? One does not have to look very far in the Christian world to see greed in the minister, to see desires to be powerful in this world, to see, you know, the common perception of some may have of a minister is like a nice, cushy job, right? Sit around, you know, go visit some sick people, read the Bible for a while, you know, hey, you got it made. There's not, you know, often not a lot of accountability. They're pretty independent, right? I mean, they're on their own often, doing who knows what. Not a lot of supervision often. So there's a problem there, or could be, right? And so we have to be careful of that. You have to be careful of that. You know, my responsibility here is, you know, to work hard. So there's one thing we can do to help with that abuse. In my end, work, you know, do what you need to do. There's the communicating, you know, make things keep open. You know, that sometimes we'll see a pastor who isolates himself, you know, is standoffish. You know, you see it often, well, you see it, I was saying, in bigger churches, but not necessarily, all right? You can get, you know, a small solo pastor who's just, you know, aloof, you know, above, and then you lose accountability in those kind of situations. You know, so we see a minister who's isolating, who's trying to keep separate, that can be a problem. We have to make sure those channels are open. So we want to avoid that abuse on the minister's side, but it can also go the other way. There is a temptation when one is paying somebody to leverage that as control, right? You can have things like, you know, don't preach certain things, don't say certain things, or you may get fired, right? And they can, you know, and I've seen that sort of thing. I've seen churches where, you know, they're the power people, those who are big givers in a church, and they'll use that influence to say things like, you know, hey, I don't like that decision by the pastor to, you know, preach this way or this program you're doing, and you know what? We need to go different directions, or, you know, I'll go elsewhere, and my money will go elsewhere. Okay, so there's that temptation to want to control with money, to get what they want, to hear what they want to hear. Many is a large church being grown on weak preaching, letting people hear just what they want to hear, tickling their ears with just things that they want and not necessarily what they need to hear, the hard things, the things that may not go over well. But if a pastor's fearful of the job, if they're having to tiptoe and read God's word and think, oh, I can't say that, I'll have to, you know, they may skip it, they may work around it, and they're being not being genuine in what God would have for them. And so there's that just the threat of control. You know, and as a pastor too, I mean, they rely on it. They have to feed their family. They have bills to pay. You know, I've seen situations. I've been, you know, in situations where I've been fearful, not because of myself, but I think, oh, my family. You know, if this happens, if I say this or I think this, maybe I'll lose this job, and then what am I going to do? So we have to be careful. The relationship, then, you shouldn't be one of authority, one or the other, but it's really the koinonia, the fellowship. So we are workers together. And in so doing, it's a partnership. Hopefully, that's what we want to have. We want to be together in these things. So that is the first idea of sowing and reaping. The other examples Paul gives, one is in Christian holiness. So I just mentioned the word holiness. And again, that is just the growing in God. Verse 8 tells us this. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, Paul has been working on this theme for a while, hasn't he? In chapter 5, he talked about flesh and spirit. It was more like a conflict, a war. You know, here's the bad things of the flesh. And we have to fight against that. And we want the good things, the fruit. In fact, you know, in 5:16, he puts it this way. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There's the battle. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You want to grow in holiness. You want to be more like God. You want to know Him more and more. And the flesh is against that. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Again, we talked about this. Drunkenness. All these things I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So it's conflict, it's war, it's fighting, it's, you know, me against you, nose to nose. If we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step. It's a journey. Let's not become conceited, provoking, or envying. That's the picture Paul gave in chapter 5. Now here, he goes from an idea of a battle, flesh and spirit, to a picture of an estate with fields in it. And there's a flesh field and a spirit field. And in those fields, you can sow seed. Which field are you going to? Where are you going to sow seed? So it's a slightly different picture, but it's still moving with the Spirit. Harvest depends on where we sow seed, right? If you want to have a nice corn crop, but you're planting your seed in the rocks, you're not going to get the harvest. You want to go in the good soil. So it's where and what we sow. Galatians 5 says, walk by the Spirit. Galatians 6 says, sow to the Spirit. Our character, the person that we want to be growing in Him, is shaped by our conduct. We are not helpless victims. We are battling the flesh. We know it's the truth of that. But what we are depends on how we behave. Now, the dangers, and we'll talk about this later, but we always have to be hearing. We're not talking about salvation here. Understand that. This principle can be used. Now, you know, I'll talk about it a little later, but you know, legalism, faith, you know, works-based faith, grace of salvation. This is about growing. If you want to grow, we have to grow and sow in the right places with the right seeds. There's an old saying, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Right? That's true. That is sowing and reaping. And our lives are dependent upon it. And so there are two places to sow. One, sowing to the flesh. Okay? Flesh is our passions, our desires. It's hostile to God. Cannot please God. It's against God. That is our flesh. And flesh is one of the fields we can sow in. And the seeds that we put in that field are our thoughts and our deeds. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You could say, those who sow to the flesh put their seeds in the flesh. And so it's all of our thoughts. Through our day, we are sowing one place or other. So, in the flesh, you are holding a grudge, nursing a grievance, entertaining impure fantasies, holding on to anger, giving inordinate amounts of time to frivolous entertainments. These are seeds being sown in the field of the flesh. And if we sow those seeds in that field, we will reap. We will reap. Holiness, growing in God, is a harvest and depends on where and what we sow. And so we want to sow in the Spirit. Sowing in the Spirit is the same as, like we mentioned, or setting the mind on the Spirit. It's the things we think and the things that we do. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says this, if then you who have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things here on this earth. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Contrast that with what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies to the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. And so they're sowing in the wrong field. And so we want to sow in the good seed in the good field. So the books we read, the TVs and movies we watch, the thoughts we have, the people we hang out with, the choice we make day to day, and the words we say and the things we do are seed, and we want those to be spiritual and set in the Spirit. It's the dreaded D word, folks. Discipline. And we hate it. It's prayer. It's fasting. It's Bible reading. It's worship. But that is the seeds we must sow to have the harvest that we desire to have. And so then we end up, there are two harvests then. With two fields, you're going to get two different harvests. The flesh harvest is going to be corruption, moral decay, a deadened conscience, death. That's the harvest of the flesh. Contrast with the harvest of the Spirit, which is moral and spiritual growth, with knowing God more and more, with being communion with Him, with being with Him, and in that, eternal life. The principle of sowing and reaping is life and death. Crucify the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Put to death the deeds of the body, and grow in the Spirit. That is the principle of sowing and reaping in action in our lives. A third area of life that Paul puts this principle to is the Christian well-doing. Doing good things. Verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So that as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. This is the practical activities, our day-to-day lives, in how we walk with the Spirit. That in walking in the spiritual world affects what we do here. Our lives, in our families, our jobs, everything. And it can be tiring. Sometimes it's just like, I want to just have a break from doing good. It can get discouraging. People aren't grateful. I don't want to do it anymore. We can just get lazy about it. We can quit. But Paul gives us a good incentive here. Okay? And it's a good one. And in doing good, he relates it to sowing good seed. Okay? You want to sow good seed? Well, doing good is that. And he mentions having patience like a farmer. And you think about this. If a farmer is wanting to have a crop, and so he begins sowing seed, he has a harvest that he's shooting for. And if he gets kind of tired halfway through and stops, the harvest isn't going to happen to what he wants. The farmer knows, you know what? The sun's shining, the weather's good. Get out there, get it done. Do it now. And push on to the end. It's that principle of perseverance that runs all through the Christian life. Those who go to the end will be saved. The narrow road versus the wide road. It's go to the end. Press on. I love reading the end of Pilgrim's Progress. When he gets across the river, he's there, and he's finally, after all his faces, he's there. He persevered. You sow half the field, you get half the harvest. Press on. Now, of course, in this, you have to know what your harvest that you want. You have to want God. You have to desire Him. That's where it starts, and we want to encourage that with each other. But that principle of perseverance is an important one. You look in James chapter 5. Starting in verse 11, he says this, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another." Okay, so here's that sowing of good. "Don't grumble, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is waiting at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purposes of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Press on, be patient, but be steadfast. A successful farmer is the steadfast farmer. It's the patient farmer. It's the persevering farmer. So what is the harvest then here? Paul doesn't say. He kind of leaves it there. I think we can be thoughtful about this though, okay? I am certain that doing good in the church or in the community yields good things, right? You can't go wrong. You aren't going to do any harm ever in doing good. You always bring something good. And so, in our doing good, I mean, we give comfort, relief, assistance to people in need. We may lead a person to repentance or salvation in our doing good. We could hold back moral decay in our societies, salt and light in our world. Our reward in heaven from our doing good. Now again, not salvation. Please understand that. We're not talking about working and doing these things to be saved, but there is a principle of rewards and crowns, and you can't go wrong by doing good. Paul touches on this in Romans chapter 2. He says, he will render each one according to his works. To those who by patience, there it is, in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. I can understand we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about doing good and the direction of life. Is the Spirit there? Then this is where you're going to go. If the Spirit's not there, this is where you're going to go. This is examination. This is understanding who we are. It's not salvation. It's evidence of that salvation. And he especially says to the household of faith, to everyone, you know, Jesus says, you know, again, people try to take these verses and say, well, then I don't have to be nice to people in the community, but church folk, I guess I got to be nice to. I mean, Jesus told us, love our enemies. Hey, but there is something special in particular about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to take care of them. So, again, be cautious in applying this principle as a weapon. We do not want that. We don't want it to lead us into legalism. We don't want to have the idea of sowing and reaping as a bludgeon. When we see someone who's made a mistake and go, ah, see? You reap the sow, buddy. Too bad. That's not what this is about. It's about growing in Him and deepening our love for God and each other. So we don't want to hit people over the head with this principle. We want to have the proper motivation of God and knowing Him and glorifying Him and expanding His kingdom. And out of that, then, this principle can be one that we understand and work with. Be committed to living this principle out. We've seen how it can work out in God's Word, in relationship with ministers and learners, in our thoughts and our deeds, and in good works. In all these things, we reap what we sow. And so it's important that where you sow, the seeds that you sow, and how much you sow. And if it's your desire to know God, to really be more like Him, you have to sow the seed and do it more. Give me more seed. Give me more and plant it. It's hard, but remember, God is not mocked in these things. We are not going to get away. We aren't going to say, I'll plant a little bit of seed, but maybe, you know, I'll still get a good harvest. Or I'll do a little bit of the flesh, but I won't have any consequence. There are consequences. Always is. And we need to encourage each other to persevere in these things. And I think we had to mention also, I mean, our role as salt and light in our world is so dependent on this relationship and this principle. And who we are as people is very important in our nation and our world. And if we look through this lens of sowing and reaping, we see consequences. You see the consequences of polarization in our politics. Again, I don't care what side you're on. We're reaping. Riots left and right, that's reaping. Fighting in our electoral processes, that's reaping. We're reaping what we sowed. Christians, we're reaping what we sowed. We have to repent and say, forgive us, and put the seed, the proper seed, in the proper field, God's kingdom, and pursuing Him and speaking truth. That is when we will get a good harvest. And I believe that with all my heart. Let's pray. Our Father God, help us to understand and see the field to sow in and the seeds to sow. Lord, we want to be like you. We want our church to grow in you, to know you more. And so, Lord, in the temptations of the flesh, we ask your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to sow good seed, knowing that we will get a great harvest because you are who you are. And so we are confident in that. Forgive us for our shortcomings. We know we do. Help us to be confident in the work that is done will bring you glory and your kingdom, and we can rest assured in that. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Good to be here today.